I would like to invite your attention into the book of Acts this morning. Chapter 4. I'm sorry, 8th chapter, 4th verse, the book of Acts. Book of Acts, 8th chapter, 4th verse. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I can never say ask. I always say Acts. Ask somebody. The book of Acts, 8th chapter, 4th verse, and it reads as thus. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. One more time. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, not just in West Covina, not the neighboring cities, everywhere, spreading the gospel, telling family, friends, strangers about this church called New Beginning that preach about this man named Jesus. Everywhere, preaching the word. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, just saying thank you for another day, Lord. Thank you for touching us with your finger of love, Lord. We realize you didn't have to do it, but we're so glad that you did, Lord. And since you did, and you woke us up on this side of heaven, Lord, we're going to give you all the praise and the glory this morning, Lord. We're going to worship you, we're going to praise you, and we're going to invite you in here and ask you to have your way in this place, Lord. Anything you want done, do it. Anything you want said, say it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I'm not lying when I say y'all look good this morning. Now, I really want to break the rules of homiletics. That's the art of preaching. I want to preach chapters 6, 7, and 8. And every preacher know that's a no-no. For the time that is ours to share, I want to talk to you from the subject, bigger and better. It has been said that living things grow and healthy things often grow fast. And that is the exact replica of the early church that is given to us in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, beginning at chapter 1, moving all the way to chapter 8 into the text that we just read, is the story that report the reflection of rapid church growth among the body of believers known as the early church. The early church understood what it meant to see exponential, explosive, expansive growth, both numerically and spiritually, as God allowed preachers and servant leaders to gather together and work together to ensure that the body of Christ will be built up to become everything that the Lord has called them to be. Now, if you were to take a swift journey through the first chapter of the book of Acts, you will find out that in chapter 1, the Lord Jesus appeared to those who had been his followers, to those who had chosen to follow him as he made them to become fishers of men. Now, these individuals had been deputized by the Lord Jesus to ensure that every person in whom they made contact with knew about the love of Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of God into which we had all been invited. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gives them a clue as to how they're going to be able to do the work that has been assigned into their hands. He says to them, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses beginning in Judea and then in Jerusalem and then into Judea, then into Samaria, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. Let me repeat that. Because this, my friends, is necessary for us to comprehend if you're going to understand how we grow bigger and better. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus had the expectation that every person with whom those believers would come in contact with would know something about Jesus Christ. Because he was going to deputize them to be his witnesses. And they didn't have to do it on their own accord or in their own power. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then, my witnesses starting in Jerusalem. See, that's where folks look like you, talk like you, believe like you, behave like you, worship like you. Some of them even vote like you. Then go into Judea. That's farther out from where you grew up from. That's on the other side of the tracks. And then he said, go to Samaria. That's even to those who don't like you, those who don't appreciate you, those who are your enemies. Samaria is where your haters live. Then go into the uttermost part of the earth. He says, I want you to grow bigger and get better. And I want you to do it by witnessing for me. It was the expectation of the Lord Jesus that the church would grow. Jesus expects his church to grow. Amen. If the church was alive, it is intended to grow. If the church is alive, if you don't just frown up at people who walk through the door because you don't recognize them, if you don't make people feel uncomfortable when they clap their hands and say amen, if you show them how we usher in the spirit, if you don't just wait on the musicians to make you get excited, if you don't wait on a preacher to say something clever to make you get the Holy Ghost, you got to come in here filled with the Holy Ghost. If the church is alive, then it will grow. May I remind you what I said at the beginning of this message? Living things grow and healthy things grow very fast. And the Bible says that the members of Jesus Christ are growing at a rapid rate of speed because they took seriously the responsibility to be a witness for Jesus Christ. This ain't nothing to play with. You should have bought yourself a toy. Don't come here. This is not your playground. This is the house of the Lord. We come here for one thing and one thing only, to get closer to Jesus Christ. If you want to play, we got to park around the street. The responsibility to be a witness for Jesus Christ is something that we got to take seriously. That's in chapter 1. When Jesus gives them those instructions. But in chapter 2, the Bible says that what Jesus promised them came to pass. Make a decree, and it shall happen, and light shall shine upon it. Because God always keeps his word. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place on one accord, and suddenly there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled the whole house where they were sitting. And your Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible says it was such a phenomenal experience. There were some haters, because there's always some haters, who said something's not right with them people over there at New Beginning. They must be drunk to be acting like that this early in the morning. It just don't make sense to act like that. It don't take all of that. I mean, don't no church service make you clap like that, make you run like that, make you smile like that. And Peter had to stand up and preach one sermon and say, these people are not drunk as you suppose. But this is what the prophet Joel had prophesied about. In the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall have dreams. Young men shall see visions. God said, I'm just keeping my word. I told you through my prophets that I was going to allow exponential growth to take place. If my sons and daughters would preach my word. Not if the preacher preached my word. If my sons, that's the men, and my daughters, that's the women, would preach my word. And the Bible says that the consequence of Peter preaching one sermon, 3,000 souls got saved, because living things grow and healthy things often grow very fast. One sermon and 3,000 souls got saved. And if that wasn't good enough, by the time you get to the end of chapter 2, your Bible says that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. On Monday, he added some. On Tuesday, he added some. On Wednesday, he added some. On Thursday, he added some. On Friday, he added some. On Saturday, he added some. On Sunday, he added some. Daily, he added to the church. That's what I call a 7-day event. Isn't it amazing to see these men and women, boys and girls get saved? All because the preaching of the gospel is going forth with power, with conviction, with authority. Folks are being saved. And not only is the ministry of the word going forth, but we also see the ministry of the works of the apostles going forth. We've got ministry and miracles at the same darn time. It's a beautiful picture in the beginning, because in chapter 3, there's a lame man who had been lame for a long time. And he's sitting at the temple gate called Beautiful. By the time Peter and John, who are filled with the Holy Ghost, come upon this man, the Bible says, although he was lame, by the time Peter finished with him, he was leaping and jumping and praising God. Because when God does something for you, you can't do for yourself. Sometimes you can't contain your joy. You can't contain your appreciation. It'll make you leap, jump, and praise God. In fact, I'm gonna pause right now and ask somebody in here, has God ever done something for you that you couldn't do for yourself? Has God ever opened a door for you that you couldn't open for yourself? Has God ever made a way for you that you couldn't make for yourself? Has he ever closed the door for you that you didn't know needed to be closed, because he had something better for you than you had for yourself? Somebody in here can testify that he's done so much for me, I just can't tell it all. And because he's done so much for me, I'm better. So this man is leaping and jumping and praising God. And the Bible says in verse 10 of chapter 3 that the people of God who saw this lame man are now astonished at this great work. They're amazed at the phenomenal work that the Lord is performing amongst his people. We've got the ministry of the word. We've got the ministry of the works. We have preaching and we have miracles. And the Bible says that the consequence, the church keeps growing. They can't stop it. By the time you get to chapter 4, the Bible says that the Lord has added 5,000 people to the people of God. The church is growing so exponentially. I suspect it is because living things grow and healthy things often grow quite fast. So the Bible now, from chapter 2 to chapter 4, has recorded for us that there were 5,000 members. And by the time you keep going through the book of Acts, they just stop counting. They say, these are they who turned the world upside down. I don't know how many of them it is. I don't know how big their church is. All I know is they turning the world upside down. It's a beautiful picture of how God uses the people of God. I don't want to take this for granted, but just in case you don't know who the people of God is, it ain't the person sitting next to you. It's you. If you let him use you, we can grow this thing and turn the world upside down.
Amen. That's the truth.
In chapter 4, we find out that the Lord is still up to something. He ain't done yet. They can't even count the members. They turning the world upside down. And he's still working with them. And the Bible says that even their haters can't shut them down. In chapter 4, we learn that something, you got to learn how to survive the shift. See, there had been a shift in what had happened. There had been a phenomenal movement, phenomenal growth, phenomenal production, and then some haters showed up and tried to shut it down. To whom much is given? Somebody help me, come on. There you go. In chapter 4 this morning, we learned that even when your haters try to shut you down, they ought not be able to shut you up when you think about what God has already done in your life. So from chapter 4 to chapter 6, chapter 5, now we're into chapter 6, we find out that the church is growing so much that when you get to verse 1 in chapter 6, it says that the church was continuing to increase in numbers, and I suspect that we could liken New Beginning to the early church. I think we can hold a match to them. I think we can hold our own. Because the Bible says that this exponential growth was not because of some gimmick or trickery, but the Bible says that the expansive growth, the explosive growth, was because somebody decided to preach about a man named Jesus. We don't need no pet zoo in the back. We don't need no circus. We don't need no clowns. All we need is for somebody to preach about a man named Jesus. In the beginning, I need to declare in this place that we do not need tricks. We do not need gimmicks. We do not need to have some drama in a sanctuary for us to allow the Lord to do his work amongst us. If we'll just open up this Bible and say there's a man named Jesus who still saves to the uttermost, I hesitate to remind you that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Exponential growth, explosive growth, expansive growth from one service to two, from two service to three. It's explosive. And I'm just foolish enough to believe that we can do it. And nobody can take the credit for it for themselves. You have to be able to testify that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, we don't know where would we be. Now, by the time you get to chapter 6, this business of the church has been growing so exponentially that they realize that some folks have been neglected. I've been so busy working, trying to make money. Forgot I had a wife at home that needs me. So busy running around trying to leave a legacy. Forgot that my kids need me. Take time out. Go to a gymnastics rehearsal. Go to a track meet. I know you're busy. Don't get so busy trying to be successful that you neglect what's most important to you. The church was so busy growing that they neglected to feed the widows. And this just cannot be. Because the hallmark of the church is that when you come into the body of Christ, everybody all had all things in common. Literally suggesting that if you had a need, that need was met by the church. Everybody was taken care of amongst the body of Christ, because the people of God knew how to share with other people. We had a meeting down here a couple of weeks ago, and Brother ML Smith shared a little short testimony about his experience and what he loved most about this church, and how people show up for him when he needs someone to show up. And that just did something for me, still doing something for me. When I was thinking about this lesson, it did something for me. That's what came into my mind. And God said, see, you're already on the right track. All you have to do is build. The foundation is there. You just need some 2x4 and some nails and some anchors, and you can build this thing up. Biblically, God has already laid the foundation here at New Beginning. Because the people of God wants everybody to be blessed. I don't want to have it all and you have nothing. I don't want you to watch God bless me and he not blessing you. And in the event he bless me, then I'm going to bless you. So when he blessed me, he automatically blessed you. And when he blessed you, he should be blessing the person next to you. It's a sad Christian who only wants him or himself or herself to be blessed. And somebody in here can testify that you're so grateful that somebody shared with you once upon a time, because you're able to testify, I'm the beneficiary of some loving people who still share with those in need. I tell all the people all the time in secular America, there's no such thing as a self-made millionaire. Ain't nobody got there all by themselves. Somebody helped you somewhere. I don't care if it was the doorman that opened the door for you so you wouldn't be late for that meeting. Somebody helped you somewhere. Nobody is self-made. That's what the Bible says happened. So by the time we get to Acts chapter 6, they need to figure out how in the world are we going to meet the need of all of these people. Boy, I tell you, that's a nice problem to have. How are we going to meet the need of all these people, D? They just pouring in. We ain't got enough chairs. We ain't got enough parking spaces. We ain't got enough Bibles. We're running out of envelopes for tithes. And how are we going to supply the need for all these people? That's a good problem to have. the Bible helps us understand that if you're going to grow bigger and better, there are some requirements that has to be met. That if the church is going to grow bigger and get better, it requires the assistance of some Holy Ghost filled believers. Did you catch that? If we're going to grow bigger and get better, it requires the assistance of not deacons. Don't need them. Not the ushers. We're going to be all right without them. We don't even need the music department. We need some Holy Ghost filled believers. So in chapter 6, they find 7 people who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. You can't be saved and stupid. Got to have some wisdom. So they find 7 people so that they can make sure the tables are served and nobody goes lacking. Nobody goes lacking. The preacher cannot leave the preaching of the gospel to make sure that everything is done. It's too many people now. These are they who turn the world upside down. You got too many saints, if there's a such thing. So now you got to get some assistance from the Holy Ghost filled believers. And they chose 7 people. We commonly know them as deacons. And they chose 7 of these deacons. And they say, now y'all got to help us make sure all of these needs are being met. But they didn't just choose any old somebody. No. They chose folks who were filled with the Holy Ghost and have some wisdom. Somebody in here this morning ought to be able to say, I'm so glad I came to New Beginning and hooked up with some people who love the Lord with all their heart, and I'm able now to make some progress in my life that I was not able to make before because I have some Holy Ghost filled believers helping me through this thing called life. You're not going to get there by yourself. You're going to need some saints, some help from some Holy Ghost filled believers. Now, listen to this condition. The conditions are, if you're going to help, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost and you got to have some wisdom. Literally suggesting that they needed empowerment and enlightenment. You see, the Holy Ghost isn't something you just catch like the flu. I'm so tired of people saying, oh, she caught the Holy Ghost. No, she didn't. She did not. Not. It's not something you throw around and jump up and catch. No, you don't catch the Holy Ghost. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if you catch it, you can drop it. But if you're filled with it, it'll teach you how to love your enemies. It'll teach you how to pray for those that disrespect you. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It is not just a good emotional feeling. It gives you power so that you can represent Jesus in the world. I remember being a kid, and like everybody else, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan. And I never could afford to go to any of the concerts, but I could watch it on TV after it happened. And while I'm watching MTV, recaps of the Michael Jackson concert, girls are just falling out all over the place. And I remember thinking, they're catching the Holy Ghost. Because I thought that's what the Holy Ghost was. It made you do stuff like that. It's not a feeling. It's not something you catch. You are filled with it. Y'all full of HG. you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I ain't worried about you talking about me. I got power. I ain't worried about you scandalizing my name. I got power. I ain't worried about you digging a ditch for me. While you're at it, you might as well dig two, because you might end up in one, because I got power. Power, it lets me keep going even when I feel like giving up. Power, it dries my tears. And the Lord said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He said, you need some folks who's going to help you, who have some power. Now, as we move out of chapter 6 into chapter 7, one of those Holy Ghost-filled believers is a brother by the name of Stephen. Stephen rises to the top of the deacon list. He was a chairman of the deacon board. Because Deacon Stevens is somebody very significant. The Bible says he doesn't only have the Holy Ghost, but he has wisdom. But he also has grace and faith that is so strong, and it enables him to be better than anybody else you can imagine. He has great faith. And every now and then, I want to be classified as one of those people who not only have the Holy Ghost in wisdom, but I want to have great faith so I can believe God for big stuff. I can believe God for amazing stuff. I want to trust God even when it doesn't make sense to my family and friends. I want to believe God is going to make a way for us to grow this church so big we got to buy the building next door. Anybody in here got great faith that can stand with me? The book says Stephen has great faith. And because he has so much faith and so much wisdom and so much empowerment, that there are some folks who don't like him simply because the favor of God is upon his life. And here's the crazy part in the beginning. The folks that don't like him are a group of folks called the Sanhedrin. Bible toting, scripture quoting, hand waving, feet stomping, law remembering church folks. And church folks are hating on other church folks. Can you believe that? So glad I don't go to that kind of church. And you'll be surprised how many people will see the favor of God on your life, and they would rather tear you down than build you up. That's what happened to Deacon Stephen, because they seen that he was a bold witness for Christ. They accused him of blasphemy. On trumped up charges, they say that he had been blaspheming Moses and the temple. Now, in the beginning, you must understand this is very important, because to them who were Jews, when they think about Moses, that's the great lawgiver, the liberator of the people of God. He's the one who enabled the people to know the will of God on their lives. Without Moses, they'll still be lost. He was their leader, their liberator, their lawgiver. They loved them some Moses. And not only did they love Moses, they loved the temple. So it's not just Moses. It's about a monument. You see, they thought the only place you can get a word from God was in the temple of God. You ain't got to wait to come to church on Sunday. We got a word from God Saturday on Zoom. We got a word of God Wednesday on Zoom. You can get a word of God tomorrow. So in the seventh chapter, they bring Deacon Stevens in, and he is questioned by the Sanhedrin. They bring up these trumped up charges and ask him to respond. Now they were doing all right when they were just using the trumped up charges against him, but they made the mistake when they gave the man of God a microphone. The beginning, y'all was all right when I showed up once a month to preach. Yeah, y'all was gonna be all right. But now you done gave me a microphone. And it's time to get dirty. It's time to do some heavy lifting. It's time to put on some gloves, some knee pads. Playtime is over. Because now he's able to talk back. He began to speak. And for 52 chapters, I mean verses, in the seventh chapter, Stephen starts talking about this work that God has done in his life. 52 verses. He started telling his haters how good God has been to him. How God has made a way for him. And the Bible says he starts off with Abraham and then Moses. And he makes his way to Solomon and then the prophets. And he ends up talking about this man named Jesus. Because if you're going to get bigger and grow better, it requires the articulation of scripture from the Holy Bible. For 52 verses, Stephen say, y'all want to talk about Moses? We can talk about Moses. And he began talking about what God did through Moses, how he led the people of God out of bondage, led them into the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says that while they were walking around in the wilderness, their shoes never wore out. While they were walking around in the wilderness, their clothes never wore out. While they were walking around in the wilderness, God fed them with manna from heaven every day. While they were walking around in the wilderness, they got water from a rock. He led them by a cloud of pillar by day and by a pillar of fire by night in their wilderness. But every need was taken care of, even though they were in the wilderness. Nothing ever fell short, nothing ever ran out, and somebody in this church can testify you've been in some wilderness experiences and you found out that the same God who was with the children of Israel in their wilderness wandering has been with you in yours. Is there anybody in here who can testify, I had no job, but the Lord made a way. I didn't have any friends, but he was a friend who stayed closer than the brother. Is there anybody in there who can testify that God has been good even when I was in my wilderness? And just like good old Deacon Stevens, by the time he got done talking about Moses, by the time he got done talking about the temple, by the time he got done talking about the prophets, he took a leap all the way over into the New Testament, and he started talking about this man named Jesus, just like that old preacher do sometime. Y'all know how the old preacher do. It don't matter where he take his text from. It could be from Lamentations or the book of Luke. Somewhere before he closed that message, he's going to say, one Friday, on a hill called Calvary, he died. Didn't he die? Is there anybody in here who's not tired of hearing that same old story? But every now and then, I want to hear that he loved me so much that he allowed them to put nails in his hand, a crown of thorns on his head, and they put spikes in his feet and a spear in his side. He died. Didn't he die? He died all night Friday night, all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And that's how you grow a church. God, I wish I had time to go on and tell you how they killed Deacon Stevens. And, and how he testified, and he didn't have time to go to his car and get his Bible, but he started quoting the word of God because it was on the inside of him. They took his cell phone so he couldn't go into his Bible app and start Googling scriptures. He had it on the inside of you. And sometimes you got to keep something on the inside of you. It's all right to know all the words to Beyonce's song, but you ought to know what John 3:16 says.